great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And it's all about Jesus. I remember when I started preaching way back when I was 13 years old, I said to my dad, I feel so inadequate to give the word. And I think about this all the time. I remember what my dad said. He said, if God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through you. So it's all him. Amen? Amen. It's great to be here. Boy, it's just like coming home. Audrey and I were talking on the way here. It seems hard to believe, but it's been about 13 years since we left. So we were here 12 years. And then that's been 13, but so great. It's like a reunion. Are you looking forward to the big reunion? Oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of what? Of his saving grace. What's the next part? On the streets of glory, let me. Cares all past. Home at last, ever to rejoice. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, we've got, do you want to introduce everybody, Audrey, the grandkids? There's a bunch. Oakley's back there someplace. Yeah, but great. Great to have. And when Brian said how I got lost, I know I've said this to you before, but I think about this a lot. There's only one person that gets lost more than me that I know of, and that's Nicole. So one time, Nicole was coming to our house in Dayton, and I think it was about the eighth time she was going, and she got turned around, and she called GW and said, I forgot how to get here. I'm in Georgetown. And he started by saying this, okay, Chuck. I said, you didn't have to tell me you said that. But anyway, praise the Lord. Hey, and I met a family. You all are from Effingham? So did you all know that they came in from Effingham? He's got the Ark Encounter there, but welcome. So you're out on vacation or?
Visiting family.
Oh, visiting family. Oh, that's your mom. Gotcha, okay. Praise the Lord. Well, great. It's great to have you all. Hey, anybody got a praise? Testimony you want to share?
I want to praise God that my father-in-law is doing so much better after being in the hospital, and my mother-in-law is doing well, and
good.
And God answered a lot of prayers.
Praise the Lord, great. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yes. Amen. Amen. Great job.
He brings me to church. So it's so good that you come in this church. I love this church. And the people are so friendly. So I say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what it's all about. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a testimony.
Diagnosed with cancer a year ago. And she had to go through some
That's right.
I think there's still evidence that God loves us, and we
yes.
can trust Him, rely on Him, and let Him be in charge.
Yes. Amen. And He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. His power never changes. His glory never changes. He's awesome. If there's one word, if I had to describe God in one word, of course, that's impossible, but I think awesome might be the closest to it. Awesome. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes.
The song Amazing Grace, whenever it gets to God, it says that saved a wretch like me, my hand is automatically goes up.
Yes.
Amen.
And then it goes on to say, I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Yes. It's powerful. That is. Yes.
Amen.
Jesus makes all the difference. All of it. Amen. Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey, God inhabits the praises of his people. Anybody else? We don't want to cut anybody. Hey, I just want to tell you, too, I'm so excited about this. The Lord is really working in the Dana Christian School. Of course, we only have about 300 people in the whole I don't know if you call it a city, a town, or whatever, but we're getting more and more students, and it's not about the numbers, but it touches my heart. I'm teaching Bible there at the school in the mornings, but it touches my heart. We have preschoolers through juniors in high school. Next year, Lord willing, we'll have seniors. But they're there when we're singing, they're praising the Lord, and it touches your heart. Well, you see 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds all through the ages when they're praising the Lord. And I just tell them right off, I really appreciate the Ark. You guys be at the Ark and the ministry there. But I just tell them, hey, I'm going to just be up front. Evolution is a lie. And don't fall for that. You know what you trust? You trust this. You stand on the Word of God because that is absolute truth. And you can put all your faith, hope, and trust in that and in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Anybody else? I don't want to cut anybody off. Hey, if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Acts chapter 3? We'll start with verse 1, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame, came from his mother's womb, was carried. And they laid daily him at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Amen. Let's pray. And dear Lord, how we give you praise that you are the great I am, Lord. You are the creator of the universe. You are the creator of all things. And without you, nothing that was made was made. You're the Alpha. You're the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the Good Shepherd. How we give you praise. How the Good Shepherd pursues the lost sheep. Even if he has 99 sheep that are safe, when that one goes astray, the Good Shepherd pursues that sheep. And Lord Jesus, you are the Good Shepherd. And Lord, just as Buck was saying, when we are lost, you pursue us. You knock at our heart's door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and have fellowship with him. To have fellowship with the creator of the universe. What greater blessing. We give you praise. And Lord, we thank you that you are an active God, that you are a miracle working God. That not some things, not most things, but all things are possible in and through you. And how we give you praise that you have power over the enemy. We know Satan comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But for those of us who are saved, greater is he. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We have authority. When we are a children of God, we have authority over the enemy. We can say to Satan, get behind me, Satan. And Satan has to flee. We give you praise. And Lord, right now I pray that get me out of the way. Lord, I know that I am nothing. Lord, I have nothing to offer. But you are great, Lord. We want to exalt you. We want to lift you up. And Lord, may we honor your word here this morning. May we not just be hearers of the word. Help us to be doers of the word. May your Holy Spirit have total freedom to do whatever you want to do. And we will give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Now I want you to picture this, what the disciples felt when they looked upon the cross. Can you imagine what was going through their mind? Their Savior, their Lord, their Messiah, their friend, someone who had ministered to them for 3.5 years, who had performed awesome miracles. Here he was in agony on the cross. Can you picture that? Can you picture them looking up at Jesus? Blood pouring from his hands. Blood pouring from his feet. And then Jesus said, "It is finished." And he died. They were totally devastated. Jesus had told them several times, "I will die, but I will rise again." But it seemed like a myth. It seemed like a fairy tale. Their Messiah was dead. They didn't know where to turn. They didn't know what to do. And picture this. 10 of the 11 remaining disciples, Judas had committed suicide. 10 of the 11 were behind locked doors, fear of the Jews. They're trembling. They don't know what to do. They're dismayed. They're disheartened. They're in chaos. They're scared to death. And Jesus shows up. Don't you love it? Jesus shows up. Peace. And he shows the disciples his hands. He shows the disciples his feet. And they are in utter awe. He's risen. Whoa. They're in awe. And of course, Thomas wasn't there, and they tell him, "We have seen Jesus. He has risen from the dead. He is alive." "I don't think so." "No, I don't believe it." "We've seen him." "Well, unless I stick my finger in the holes in his hands, unless I put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples are there again. This time, Thomas is with them. Jesus shows up. He hones in on Thomas, walks right over to him. "Hey, Thomas. Look. See? Hey, look. It's right here. Here's a hole. You want to put your finger in the hole? Look at the side there. You can just stick your hand right in the side. Don't be unbelieving. Believe." "You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe." Wow, what a moment. And picture this, for 40 days, Jesus would just seemingly randomly show up. Over 500 people saw him. And then picture this. What an exciting moment. Jesus is with the disciples, some of the other followers. And then Jesus just starts floating up in the air. They see him going into heaven. What a sight. And an angel appears. The angel says to the disciples, other followers, "Just as he went up, someday he's coming back." Do you believe that? He's going to come back. So here they are. Jesus has ascended. And I want you to focus in on what the disciples began to do. This is really interesting. They began to get together and they began to pray. Isn't that something? The scripture says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, There am I in the midst of them. There is something special that happens when brothers and sisters in Christ come together and pray and seek the Lord. It's powerful. It touches the very heart of God. It's amazing. Some of you might remember, I never could pronounce his name, and that's before I had false teeth. But we had an African pastor, some of you will remember, that spoke here of faith several different times, and he was talking about the movement of God that they were seeing not only in his church, but in his city. He said, we're seeing all kinds of things. We're seeing all kinds of people come to Jesus daily. People are getting saved. People are getting sanctified. People are getting healed. We are seeing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in incredible ways. And he just kept listening. People were being set free from bondages. And I had a chance to ask him one-on-one. I said, how do you attribute that great movement of God? And he said, let me tell you what we do. On Thursday night, we have an all-night prayer meeting. You ever been to one of those? All night. All night. Hundreds of people show up. Little kids, they bring their kids. Some of them don't stay the whole night, but many of them do. Hundreds stay all night. They seek the face of the Lord, and you want to know something? You seek them, you find them. You seek them, you find them. He said, the power of God is moving. So here they were. They were seeking out the Lord. They were in the scriptures, waiting on the Lord. Acts chapter 2, you see something miraculous happen. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Pentecost? Fiery tongues come down and settle on 120 people. And let me just say this. Everyone there was no longer the same. Peter, who had denied Jesus three different times, and that hadn't been that long before, when he received the Holy Spirit, you can look through the rest of the scriptures, he never denied Jesus again. Empowered. Unified. And then Peter gets up. After everyone heard the gospel in their own language. Isn't that something? Here are these 120 people were able to speak the gospel in a multitude of different languages because they had people from all over that were coming in for Pentecost. So all of a sudden, Peter, when some of the others were speaking in languages they had never learned. Audrey and I attended a conference a long time ago, and the pastor said his uncle, who is also a pastor, who full of the Holy Spirit, he was in Africa years ago, and he was overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. And even though he didn't know their native language, some is like a French language, he didn't know it, he preached a whole sermon, not knowing what he said. Can do all things. Isn't that something? And then Peter gets up. And you think Peter stood up before the people? Well, I've got something I want to say to you today. I hope you guys can take it. There was power. There was authority. Let me tell you who Jesus Christ is. Three thousand people came to Jesus Christ that day? 3,000? And all of a sudden, there were all kinds of miracles. And I want to make this point. I mean, it's great. God has all power, all authority. There's not a doubt in my mind that with Cindy that is sitting here, that the Lord literally raised her back from the dead. There's not a doubt in my mind. I was there. He can do all things. You know, the greatest miracle of all is when someone is born again in Jesus Christ. The old is gone. Behold, all things are new, and that person becomes a new creature in Christ. It's incredible. I've seen so many individuals through the years, people who are bitter, people who are full of hate, people who are non-believers, when they've experienced the living Christ, they're totally different. Born again. So they were doing, through the power of the Lord, all kinds of miracles were being accomplished. The church was continuing to grow. And then picture this. You have Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, and they are going to the temple to pray. Think prayer is important? Hello? Hello? Think prayer is important? 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they were headed to the temple to pray. And they happened to see a man who has been crippled from birth. And they didn't have Timex watches back then. But they weren't looking at a watch anyway. They wouldn't have been. They saw this man here and they could have thought, well, we better get to the temple. We don't want to be late. We got to hurry. And they could have just bypassed this man. They noticed this man. Isn't that something? Being with Jesus, isn't it amazing how Jesus would notice people seemingly lost in the crowd? Jesus would notice, have compassion. Peter and John saw this man lame and they walked right over to him. And I picture him here. He's a beggar, never had walked in his life, born lame, and he's probably holding out a jar like this. Alms for the poor! Alms for the poor! Peter and John get over there and Peter looks at him and says, look at us. And he gets excited. He's going to get some money, he thinks. Do you love what Peter says? Silver and gold we do not have. Let me tell you what that means. We're flat broke. We don't have any money. You open Peter and John's wallet and there's not even an old dirty dollar bill in there. There's nothing in there. I heard that, Buck. There's nothing in there. Silver and gold we do not have. How many times have you heard the so-called prosperity preachers tell you, you have enough faith, you're going to have tons of money. Heard that before? Yeah. Oh, you want a Mercedes-Benz, you pray for Mercedes-Benz. You want to live in a mansion, you pray for a mansion. You get whatever you want, you got the faith, faith, faith. Should have told that to Peter and John. You know, by the way, when I think about Jesus, I thought about this several times. Just picture this. If Jesus were to write out his will, give a big booklet, write out your will. Here's what Jesus could have written. I give the clothes on my back. That's all he had, right? Our riches aren't here. Our riches are up there. Amen. Silver and gold we do not have. But what I have, I give you. Picture Peter, he just reached out, get up in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand. This man had never stood. Picture what it would have been like for this man when he was a little boy. I picture him outside, little kids playing and running. I wish I could do that. Never had even stood. Crippled all of his life, born crippled. Can you imagine how excited he was? He didn't just stand. He began leaping. He began jumping. Praise the Lord! Wow. The power of God. And guess where he went? He went right with Peter and John, went into the temple, and he just kept praising and praising the Lord. We have a God who can do all things. All things. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? Everything is possible. What did Paul write? Did Paul say, you know what? I can do some things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do most things through. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's the source. He's the vine. We're the branches. You're connected to Him. All things are possible. Amazing. I shared a little bit about this before, but one of my new great friends is a fellow by the name of Raymond, and I met him when we were doing the homeless ministry, Hispanic. He came up and he'd get a few clothes. He actually had a small apartment. But he began to share a story, what God had done for him. He's 52 years old, and up until 8 years ago, he was a drug addict. Hard drug addict. A drug dealer. He was associated with the cartel in California, raised in California, spent years and years and years in two different penitentiaries. But you know what happened? 8 years ago, Jesus Christ transformed him. He told me his testimony. I came to know Jesus as Savior, and a miracle happened. Just like that. I was off drugs. Just like that. I came to Jesus Christ. I threw away the drugs. I began to take some training on how to be a drug counselor in California. Then I ended up moving to Terre Haute. And he said, you know what I really need? I've reconnected with the Lord. What I really need is a job. But he said, when you got that prison record, it's hard to find a job. I said, well, we're going to pray. You get a job. We began to pray. He would come, oh, hey, you know, Raymond needs a job. You know, God answered that prayer. In miraculous ways, one door after another opened up. And now he works for Hamilton Center in Terre Haute as a crisis drug counselor. And one of the fellows that is one of his bosses is Matt Hayes, from who actually now is preaching at the Sullivan EMC. We've known Matt Hayes since he was in junior high. And Raymond is so excited. He got that job. He said, I want to come to Dayton. I want to come to the churches, some of the churches that you preach at, and I want to share with them my testimony. I said, you want to come to Dayton? Yeah, I do. He came to Dana, and this is interesting. He came from San Bernardino, California. Then he's lived in Terre Haute. I took him a drive around the outskirts of Dana. I said, you've seen the whole town. He said, what? You mean this is it? You mean that's the whole thing? Yeah. In fact, I took you out a little further than normally. But he is counseling suicidal patients who have been on drugs for years. You know what he says to them? He said, I'll tell you what will set you free is Jesus Christ. I'll tell you who will set you free, Jesus. There's power in Jesus Christ. He said on numerous occasions, he'll be in his office and he'll be counseling someone. And he'll say, can I pray for you? Yeah. And then some of his bosses will come in and they'll see him. He'll have his hand on and he's praying that that person will be delivered. And I don't know how this is all going to work, but he said, I've got a burden for Dana. Right now, he travels to Dana to go to church. He lives in Terre Haute. He comes to Dana. I said, usually it's the other way around. People in Dana go to Terre Haute to church. But he said, I've got a vision. The Lord's given me a vision and a burden for Dana. And here in the near future, I want you and I to go around and we'll just start talking to people. We'll witness to people. We'll pray with people. And we'll just see what God will do. God's in it. Now, in closing, if you maybe are saying, boy, I need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, you ask him, he'll give it to you. If you've never been saved, the gospel is powerful, but it's so simple. I'm a sinner. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I need a Savior, and I'm going to say this twice so you don't miss it. I think everyone here knows. Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus is the only Savior. I think I'll even say it one more time. Jesus is the only Savior. He's not one of many ways. He is the way. Knocking at your heart's door if you don't know him. And today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. So we're going to have a song here in a second. This altar is open. If you're hungering for a deeper walk, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I'd be glad to talk to so many others. But the Lord wants to move you closer to him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, this is your time. And Lord, as we're going to have a solo here in a few moments, this altar is open. And I pray your Holy Spirit continues to have freedom to do whatever you want to do. You want to meet people. You want to dwell in people. You want to have fellowship with people. And so, Lord, right now, may we be open. May we be obedient to your Holy Spirit. As this altar is open, Lord, may we not run away from you. May we not make any excuses. I pray each and every one of us, I pray me, I want to get more real with you today than I've ever been before, Lord. Have your own way as this altar is open. In Jesus' name, amen.